Andrew.
Hey, Alex.
What's this?
Brains on the Outside.
What's that?
It's a podcast where we dream up ridiculous businesses to solve the world's issues.
That's right. Each week, we take one of our listeners' problems and we each pitch a company, product, or service to help them out.
And then we bicker about whose was best.
Previous ideas have included a truck made of jelly for the safest transport and a pocket microwave so you can make ready meals anywhere. So what have you been up to recently, Andrew?
That's a really good question, Alex. In the last 7 days since the last Brains on the Outside, so much of my life has revolved around playing Zelda.
Oh,
okay. I know. So I really try to spend most of my life finding ways I can apply stupid businesses to my real world. There's so much of my brain power is spent doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's distracting and odd to feel that bit of my brain give way to try and do stupid stuff in Hyrule to save Princess Zelda.
What's the most outlandish contraption that you have created in the game so far?
So the game allows you to build things. You can pick any object up and merge it with another object. Mm-hmm. So I'm very bad at that. There's people online who are constructing lewd and crude objects. There's so many articles that are like, Link is actually a war criminal because he's building these insane contraptions that can like fly 10,000 feet and break the game and drop bombs on things. That's not what Nintendo wanted from their nice child-friendly game. But I like the entrepreneurial and creative spirit people are bringing to it.
I like that a lot. I've not played it yet. I actually haven't finished Breath of the Wild yet.
That's a real good one.
Yeah. That's a real good one. I really enjoyed it. I got quite far. I think I got to the point where you pull the sword out.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because the game, it requires so much creativity and sort of like weird thinking to solve puzzles. And I'm so bad at that. I'm actually really bad at pushing things like that.
Really?
Yeah. I play like these like point and click adventures that also require like strange thinking and like weird ways of approaching problems. Mm-hmm. Terrible at it.
I find that fascinating. I never knew that about you.
It all shakes out in this podcast. And all that's left for every other hour of the day is really serious process-driven things.
You're an extremely boring man outside of this room.
All the fun bits of me is here on mic. Outside is real dull.
So this is the first episode of a new format of the show.
This is it. The final reboot. From here on out, forever, this is the format.
Over at least 10 episodes.
What is the format?
The format is, we have gone out and we have sourced a problem from the world, as we've done in the past. And this time, we are each going to pitch one idea to solve that problem, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully, then we're going to have an actual physical fight about which one is the winner.
Fist fight, no knives in this office.
That's going to make a lot of good audio content.
Hello, Brains on the Outside. This is Julie here with a problem that I would like you to solve for me. So when you first have kids, they're tiny and cute and you take loads of photos and you're there for all of their first moments, the first time they walk, then they start school and you get to go in there and see them in their play or to celebrate with them when they win something. And then as they get older, those moments become less and less. And as teenagers, they don't want you anywhere near them. And they'd rather you didn't turn up to celebrate their successes. So really, the question is, how do parents continue to get to celebrate those moments as their children turn into adults beyond graduation? So their first job interview, it's not like you get to see that or get to hear the feedback or the first time they do a great presentation at work. It's capturing those moments. How can we do that?
So that was Julie's problem. Thank you, Jules, for contacting us with that.
Yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed it.
I don't have any kids, but I have lots of thoughts on this.
Okay, I do have kids. I have no thoughts on it whatsoever. No, that's not true. That's not true.
Thank God.
I think it's a good problem to have. It's not something I thought about. It made me a bit sad.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But my kids are quite young in comparison, so I still get to experience all their achievements.
You have personal stake in this. Do you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah, I'll go first. Okay. I'll go first. So where I started with this was by challenging a fundamental assumption.
Okay.
Which is that you can't be there. at all the times that they do amazing things. You can't be at their interview. You can't be at, you know, when their baby's born. You can't be there at all their big achievements because you're a parent. Right. Yeah. But that's just a social norm.
Right. Okay.
It's just accepted that you don't take your mom to an interview.
Also, you're saying it's not the enduring march of time stops you being there.
Yeah.
Like you have jobs, so you can't be there. It's the social norm stopping you showing up to everything your daughter does.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter these days, she's getting to the point where she's getting slightly embarrassed by me a little bit, just a little bit, actually.
That's weird.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not embarrassing at all.
Okay.
And, you know, I know that by the time she's doing her first job interviews, she would be embarrassed if I was in the room.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be awkward for everybody. And the interviewers might find it a bit awkward as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting in the back, just waiting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was where I started, though, was that. Because there are options for me watching films of it and stuff. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I actually want to be there. I want to be in the room.
Right.
Yeah. So what I'm envisioning is between a combination of a special pair of glasses that just removes me
okay.
from your view of the world.
Wow.
Under certain circumstances.
Right.
And then also a pact between all of the parents in the world and all the grown-ups and all the sympathetic grown-ups that actually it'll be okay for you to be in the interview.
Okay. So your business sells and manufactures these glasses and also runs a large advertising campaign only at grown-ups to get involved in this.
Yeah. So the glasses can filter your parents out of the picture or your grandparents, but they also filter out all our ads out in the real world that are telling you that if you are a parent or you are someone, a guardian or someone who wants to be in an interview with someone else, everyone else is in on it.
So it's a combination of the film they live.
Yeah.
And also like this Samsung TVs do this. Or Sony TVs do this. Two people can watch the same thing, glasses on, and they see different things coming out because of the way the light's made. So there is scientific backing to this idea.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's it.
So everyone has to wear these glasses though?
No. Only the young'uns who don't want to see their parents in the room. So
right.
I guess there's another advertising campaign and maybe that I don't know how this works, but I haven't really thought this through.
That's okay.
There's an advertising campaign. Oh, I know what it is. It's an advertising campaign that's engineered so that only young eyes see it.
Right.
And that's for really special specs.
Okay.
That everyone wants to wear.
Right.
Okay. And we get celebrities to wear them.
Okay.
Francis Bourgeois and all the other young people.
They love them. Yeah.
They love these specs. Right. And then the grown-ups, when they look at the same advert, they just get the thing that's like a big wink.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, hey.
We're all having fun here.
Yeah, we're all good. We're all in this together. So, only, you know, just the youths have to wear the glasses.
So, do the old folks have to wear certain things so the glasses can, like, filter them out?
Oh, I guess so. Yeah. Or maybe you just feed it with many photos of your and your significant other or anyone else you want to be in the interviews. Pictures.
So it's an AI thing. I was going to say that if you did it, so the older generation, the parents had to wear something specific, then you have two markets. You sell to both people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
A special hat that you have to wear that makes you invisible when you're wearing the hat. There is a huge benefit in that as well, because it means that you just give the hat to anyone who you want to go into the room with the interview. So you could actually have 50 people in the interview with you and you don't even know that they're in there.
Oh, wait, hold on. Are the kids in on this? Do the kids, and the kids like, hey, dad, I want you to come to my interview.
Yeah.
Put this hat on. Or are you kind of doing it secretly and subverting this?
Well, no, because all of the interview panel, I'm assuming, are going to be older.
Right.
Okay. And they're also going to be in on the joke that the young people don't know that you're in the interview room with them. Right.
Oh, that's a really fun space to be for the interviewer, actually. Yeah.
So they know you're there, but they have to pretend that they don't know that you're there.
Right.
Okay. Unless they're too young, in which case, if it's a young person interviewing, then they're wearing glasses and they can't see you either because you've got the hat on.
Do you have any plans on how to finance and get R&D funding for this?
So the obvious answer is a partnership with Ray-Ban.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Because they make the frames.
Oh, they make ones for Snapchat anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's the Snapchat glasses, but they also, the Snapchat filter in there to filter
out. Shit, Snapchat make filters anyway.
Grown-ups, yeah.
I don't even think you'd have to trick kids to wear this. I think if you were like, this is the no grown-up specs, I think people would buy that.
And then the grown-ups have to buy the snap hat.
Yeah.
Which is the hat that makes you invisible through the snap glasses.
Right, okay. There's a lot. This is an interesting space, like for heists and stuff.
Oh, there's many other uses for this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure. But what you have to remember is that all the grown-ups are in on it.
Right.
So they know. So unless you're a cool dad who also wears the snap glasses.
No one like that. I bet that'll be really cringe on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like people are like, oh, check out this cringy dad wearing the glasses. Who's he think he is?
Exactly. Yeah. And we all as grown-ups have to be really careful about the hats, because if a kid gets hold of the hats, they're invisible to all the other kids. And that is a nightmare scenario waiting to happen.
Okay. I mean, great plot of a movie though.
Yeah. Yeah, really. So that is the core of my pitch there, is that everyone gets all the young'uns get the glasses, all the oldies get a hat. At some point, I don't know, when you become a parent or when you tip over into a certain age, you get a hat and you get swap your glasses for the hat.
I read an article that was talking about why some people like the military.
Oh, yeah.
And it's apparently a lot of it is that, like, if you go to university, you get a big day, so you get to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
But some people, and in America, you graduate high school, but some people don't get to graduate high school.
Right.
So there's this other route, which is military, which they make a big fuss over you.
Oh.
This will reduce military uptake because people will always get, everyone in society gets a day not to graduate, but they get, when they get the hat.
Yeah.
Lots of benefits here.
Lots of benefits. It's a weird ceremony, that one, because obviously you are standing alone in the room there.
Oh, my God.
And then you take the glasses off, and you suddenly, when you take the glasses off, there's like suddenly 5,000 other grown-ups suddenly appear who've been all wearing the hat. And then you put the hat on. And that's quite the reveal. I mean, that really is a lot of people making a fuss of you, isn't it? Yeah. You get called up for that. You'd be like, this is underwhelming. There's no one else here. Glasses off. Fuck. Everyone's here. Yeah. Andrew, welcome to the ad break.
Yeah, we have a really good ad today.
The ad break is back.
The ad break is back. We lost a lot of sponsors for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Listeners will know we did have sponsors for a while.
Yeah.
But I think they just left due to the economic climate. I don't really know. I don't really know why they left us.
Yeah, I don't think we did anything bad. I don't think, yeah.
But I'm glad they're back.
Yeah.
We have a really, really exciting innovation. Really exciting invention to talk about today.
Okay, yeah. I haven't read the ad copy, so you're going to have to...
Oh, you're going to love it. Cleaning your house, it's a real chore.
Oh, I hate it.
You got to do the whole time. You have your washing machine.
Yeah.
Where you pull your clothes. You have a dishwasher where you put your dishes. You have to have you have a shower where you put the you.
Do you include yourself in the house clean? Is that
once a week? This company,
yeah,
these boffins in Silicon Valley,
okay,
have created one box to do everything in. You drop your clothes, you drop your carpets, you drop your car tires if they need clean for some reason. You drop everything you own into this one box. Your entire body. And it cleans you. 1 hour wash cycle. Wow. When it's done, there's a drying cycle and the conveyor belts out the back take all your earthly items back to where they belong in your house.
Wow. Where do you go?
You just get dropped out the front.
Okay, flopped out the front.
Flopped out naked. The front. Yeah.
Naked and dry and clean.
Sometimes to a hospital. But they're figuring the kinks out with that.
I was going
to
say, because tires and my plates and also some sharp knives and my curtains and me all in the same machine. That's really amazing. How? What's the safety record like on that?
Mixed.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it's early adopters. Yeah, there's always kinks in these products. And they've admitted that. But you're getting ground floor in the future of cleaning.
That, I guess there's no reward without risk.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you're getting that massive time boost because I don't know how many hours you spend a week cleaning. For me, it's like maybe 70, 80 hours.
Yeah, you don't come to work a lot anymore.
Compressing that down to 1 hour.
1 hour. One intense hour. Mm. And at these prices,
yeah,
you can't really say no.
Good. Can it cope with things that require washing at different temperatures? Like recently I bought some pretty fancy boxer shorts.
Yeah,
fancy. It was about 2 months ago and I found a hole in them this morning.
Shit.
And when I wrote to the company and said, can you replace my boxer shorts, please? They were like, what temperature were you washing them at?
Oh, they got you.
And I was like, at 30. And they were like, we'll replace them, but you should wash them at 20.
What? 20?
20?
I don't think my machine in the real world goes down to 20.
I know.
But luckily this machine, it starts off at zero.
Yeah.
And it goes up. So it says 1 minute, 1 degree, 1 minute, 2 degrees. So at the end, it's 60 degrees and it's pretty bad for you.
But only 1 minute. So but it's one fine. Minute.
Yeah. So
you can 1 minute.
You can withstand that.
Yeah. You've only got 20 minutes of it being above 40 degrees centigrade. So that seems fine.
Yeah. So thank you to our sponsor.
Yeah. Wonderful. What are they called?
It's really weird. The copy doesn't. I must have missed that bit in the email.
All right. Do you want to just dig it out? And because it feels like if it's an advert, we should definitely mention the sponsor.
It's called the Cleanie Box.
Oh, good.
The Cleanie Box 5000, actually.
Oh, wow. Because it does 5000 different things at once.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I just assumed that.
Yeah. Then. I mean, yeah. That's it. That's what it says.
Brilliant.
So I approach this problem from a slightly different angle to you.
Okay.
I think, yeah, I do agree technology can fix this. Have you ever played the game Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2?
I mean, yes, but a very long time ago.
Now, if I assume everyone can, it's kind of a context clue. You play as Tony Hawk, who was a pro skater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the skate scene, I'm not in it. I have no idea what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand in the 90s, it was kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
People, you know, grinded rails and shit all over the place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And sometimes they went places they weren't supposed to be.
Ooh.
Now, what I understand now, again, not part of the scene, but I did read an article on Gizmodo, I think.
Yeah.
That the new skating scene is about competitively flying drones. Ooh, you know,
yeah,
it's quite DIY. It's quite edgy. People are helping each other out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when your drone breaks, it's very like DIY. Your friends come together to help you fix it.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of it involves the same principles of skateboarding, where skateboarding people, skateboarders, Tony Hawkists, the Birdman, they had to go skate in places they weren't supposed to be. It was semi-illegal. They get to grind those good rails, to do loop-de-loops and the big loops they wanted to. They had to go in and not meant to be. Same with drone flying. You want to get those cool aerial drone shots, you end up having to effectively trespass. So here we have a demograph of people who are really good at flying small mobile recording objects and have no fear of the law. My business is going to employ these people to do sick, cool drone fly-throughs of buildings, which will also just record your children. You can then buy it back from these people. Kids, they won't care because they'll see this badass drone during their interview and they'll be like, shit, that's a dope drone. That's awesome. I hope it never leaves this room as it's doing little cool tricks as you're trying to explain why you're a really, really good choice for this role, actually. We can then go back, get this footage off, you know, the drone and find the parent that rightfully belongs to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me just get this straight. So as a parent,
yeah,
if my daughter's going for a job interview at Deloitte.
Yep.
Yeah. Do I approach you beforehand and say, hey, can you get me a drone person who's going to fly a drone through Deloitte's offices? Or are there just so many drone people out there that there's guaranteed to be one in every meeting room or someone doing a flyby of something?
Now, I feel...
And I just have to find the right drone pilot who will have the footage of my daughter having her interview.
I feel for the ethical concerns, it's going to have to be the first option where we hire the drone pilot for the job.
Okay,
but you know, over time, a bank of this footage will you know, naturally build up, and maybe there will be a separate service, but initially it will be you come to us.
Yeah.
And you're like, my daughter's getting interviewed by Deloitte tomorrow.
Yeah.
43rd floor in some place in London. And we go out, and we find a guy.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I can see that working. So, and you know, I can see from an interviewee's perspective as a young person in a job interview at Deloitte, a drone's whipping around the room and you're like, this is pretty fucking cool.
Sick, man, yeah.
But what about as an old interviewer, an older interviewer in that situation, a drone's whipping around the room and you're just like, what the hell is this? Why is this happening?
Right. Imagine you were in this situation.
Right.
You wouldn't want to seem uncool to the teenager. So you'd be like, oh yeah, this drone is pretty cool, but secretly you'd be really, really pissed off. Sometimes a lot of our profits actually go to paying off the more mature people in the room to be like, please just calm down.
Okay. Yeah.
But our pilots, they made their living out on the streets, you know, flying their drones covertly into places they're meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we really go and pick out the best. You pay us so much money, or you would, because you're accessing quality drone pilots.
And you're saying that a quality drone pilot could hide a drone inside a meeting room.
Yeah, so sometimes they like, I imagine they could, they'll get ones trained to like sneak into people's hats maybe, and they'll come in like ratatouille it a bit and slip out. That sort of stuff. Just normal, or they'll hide in the vents.
No.
You can fit a lot of drones to a lot of places.
Yeah, that sounds, okay. Yeah. That's answered one of my queries.
Right.
The other one is a more ethical challenge,
okay,
as you've pointed out. Having, like, how do you vet what occasions I can rent a drone pilot for?
Well, we aren't in the business of entering into whatever weird relationship you want to record your children in. Like, I don't, you know, we are a service for you.
Right.
That's what it would work like, I think. So,
but the limitation is always that it is my child.
Oh, hell yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, definitely, yeah. That. It is a father-son bond. That's what we're trying to strengthen here. It's let you, you know, do all the things Julie wanted.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you can be there for those, passing your driving test.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't sound dangerous at all, having a little drone whipping around inside the back of the car.
Well, also, this is actually, you've actually pointed out a really big benefit here.
Yeah.
This is like, you ain't getting a boring shot. These drone pilots are like expertly trained, sometimes by cinematographers. They'll be whipping around the car, getting cool angles.
Yeah.
Like, they might even put fucking music on the back of it, right? Yeah, there is one mode where it could be hovering in the car, mm-hmm, but there's one where it's flying outside, whipping around.
Yeah.
Or like super high up. Wouldn't that be really cool if it dove down? That'd be great.
It doesn't sound dangerous at all. Any of this stuff, you know, I mean, what's the liability insurance on it? What's the situation there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I imagine it might be dangerous, you know, but I think at scale, this could work.
Okay.
If everyone was coming and getting drones and drones were just flying around, and that was a normal thing.
Yeah.
Then people get used to it. People were probably scared of trains and planes and cars at one point.
Okay.
And now we've learned to accept that they are dangerous.
So I have one last question.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is, can I also give the drone pilot something to deliver to my child in the middle of their interview? Just like drop them some notes.
Oh, like, are you trying to help them out?
Yeah.
I mean, I have some ethical problems with that, actually.
Oh.
Where we follow the prime directive of we never interfere.
Okay.
So we're just there to witness things and watch,
mm-hmm,
but we'll never interfere. Unless this does actually make it to market and then you pay us enough money, then we might. But
I'm just trying to think whether I've got any other questions or concerns off the back of this. Oh, I have one final concern.
Shoot, go for it.
And that's about how distracting and noisy the drones are. Because, Jem, you know, I've been to places of great natural beauty,
yeah,
you know, and you're standing there and there's a noise like a gigantic mosquito.
Yeah.
Comes out, and that's quite distracting, and it made me really angry when it happened. How are you going to deal with that? With both, I feel like you're risking really pissing off the interviewer or really distracting the interviewee in any situation.
Yeah. So in some situations, they can't park the drone.
Okay.
And again, it's kind of like, you just got to live with it, right? Like these guys, they're not just going to sit there and let you take down their drone. You know what I mean? Like they're going to make sure you avoid it when you try and slap it out the air. And some of these things are really big. Like you wouldn't want to try and hit it. It would take your hand clean off. We can. I imagine you can get a really big drone, a telephoto lens, and be just like out of earshot.
Okay, right. I see. Now, it still doesn't help me with my main concern, which is that actually in an interview situation, the interviewer will be so annoyed that they'll just call a halt to the interview.
Ah. Well, that's their own prejudices, isn't it? Like, I can't account for that. I can't account for taste, you know? I think the concept of rehabilitating drone pilots, getting them into a good, steady career.
Yeah.
As well as helping parents record moments of their child that they might not see is a fairly solid concept.
Now, actually, just thinking about that, I have one thing that I'm thinking about with that, which is, what's that thing in physics? You'll know, as a physics nerd. What's the thing in physics where if you look at it, it stops existing?
You mean like particles and quantum theory?
Yeah. What is that? There's like observability principle or something.
Uncertainty.
Yeah. So what if by the act of observing the thing that you can't usually see, you influence the output or the outcome in a way that you didn't expect? What if nothing outside of this room that we're in at the moment exists? And by doing this, we're looking at everything and actually it doesn't.
Oh, you're really big in my noodle right now. I really feel you're picking flaws in Julie's question, actually. So we reached the twilight of this episode. The end.
The evening section.
The evening section. The rapid fire. Whose idea was better?
Yeah.
I feel it was mine. I feel your idea is a good idea for a movie or a TV series.
Uh-huh.
I think it could even be prestige. I think we can make it really good. But I think practical process provide is clearer.
I think that your idea suffers from a real risk of ethical conundrums and nightmares.
Yours doesn't. Well,
mine actually requires you as a human being to be in the room and the other people in the room being okay with you being there. It's just your children who don't know that you are there.
Who don't know.
Whereas in your situation, nobody knows that you are there. At least in my world, the interviewer is in on the bit. They know. They're aware.
They're okay.
And that's a limitation. Like, you cannot be in a situation where something bad is going to happen. Whereas you could stick that drone anywhere.
But we're not. Like, it's only going to be for parents to supervise their children from afar.
Yeah.
With a sick drone. Which exists. This could go to market tomorrow.
I mean, I'll give you that. Yeah, that could go to market tomorrow. It's true. And the lawsuit would follow really soon afterwards, I don't doubt.
Yeah. I just feel there's a big R&D step in year one where it's like, I'm not sure how we're raising that money. I mean, I'll come along for the ride, definitely.
Okay, let me attack this in a different way.
Yeah.
Your idea is possible. My idea is outside brain.
Oh, fuck. Does that mean you win? Is that how this works?
How do we decide who wins? What if we just ask people to write in And we decided maybe, who wins next,
that's maybe
next
it.
Time.
That's maybe it. For our, these uncertain ones, they can just slowly shoulder this responsibility to somebody else.
Yeah.
So if an audience member wanted to write in, how would they do that?
Andrew, they could email us at our email address, which is brainsontheoutside@gmail.com.
What we're really looking for is the problems you're having. A voice note with the problem you're having, or just an email, be excellent.
Amazing.
And if you leave a review, you'll read it out on the show.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. Do you have a final idea?
What about edible soap that smells like cheese and tastes like cheese?
Ooh.
And it's actually just cheese.
Yes.
Keep your brain on the outside.
Keep your brain on the outside.